بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. The surah after surah Al-Hashr is known as surah Al-Mumtahina or surah Al-Mumtahana. The surah Al-Hashr, in it was discussed the Jews' attitude in Medina Munawwara and how the hypocrites, they sided with the Jews, how they made promises to them, how they spurred them to oppose Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's command. They said that if he fights against you, we will join you. We will not let him attack you. And at the end, when the Muslims stood up in arms against the Jews, the hypocrites, like a fox, pulled away. So in that surah, Allah Tabarak Tala had shown that the army of the shayateen, they will always make promises, but when the time comes to fulfill, they are never ready to fulfill. In surah Mumtahina and Mumtahana, Allah Tabarak Tala will now discuss or will now give a lesson to the people of Iman that no matter how hard you try to please or to be friends with the people of Kufr, they will only remain your friend as long as you are strong and they are weak. As soon as they gain strength over the believers, they will never ever look at the laws of justice, where they want to harm you, attack you, steal from you, everything becomes allowed. So you go out of your way to try to make things easy for them, but they will never go out of their way to try to make things easy for the believers. The lesson given in the surah is, O people of Iman, your inside has to become ready to pull away totally from the people of Kufr. Even if there was a relationship of friendship from the time you were born, you lived in that area, you spoke to them. But as you grow older and you become mature in mind, the demand of Iman and Islam is that now I will behave with a person who is not on Iman in a very wonderful manner, because the demand of Akhlaq is to behave in a wonderful manner. I will show him my character not so that my world can benefit, but in the hope that I can benefit his akhirah. I will not show him good character so I can save my own dunya. I will show him good character so that I can save his deen. As for what is called friendship, mawaddat, muwalat, where his love and his likes and worry for him and his world enters into my heart, and the surah will explain that that is not the shan, that is not the quality of the people of Iman. And in the next surah, which is known as Surah As-Saff, where the command is given that when the time comes to stand against the enemy, then the believers must be firm. You can only become firm in the line if there is no love for the people of Kufr within the heart of the individual. If that love is there and in front of him he sees those very people who once upon a time he adored, he followed, he loved, he read their every message, he saw their every sport, and at that day he will not be able to stand firm against them. Rather, he will be more worried about them. Mumtahina means that surah which takes the imtihan. It took the imtihan of certain women of Makkah Mukarrama who wanted to come now to Medina Munawwara. The imtihan was to show that, are you really the people of Hijrat, or are you still of the people, although your name is a mu'min, a Muslim name, but your heart is with the people of Kufr. So an imtihan was given, and it was said, if they pass this outside imtihan, then accept it from them and regard them as Muslim and mu'min. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the decision, it was in the 8th year of the Hijri. From the beginning it was known that the day that Islam will start opening up its doors for further conquest was when Makkah Mukarramah would enter into the hands of the people of Islam. All the surrounding Arabs, their eyes were on Makkah Mukarramah. For them it was whoever controls Makkah is the one on the truth. How can it be that in Medina Munawwara he is claiming to be a Nabi, but he is not in Makkah Mukarramah? So the beginning of the Futuhat, the conquest of Islam, was going to be based on what was known as Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already made a treaty with the people of Makkah Mukarramah. It is known as Hudaybiyah. In the treaty it was for the next 10 years, there will be no battle, there will be no war. Which meant that the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah at the time when the treaty was signed was regarded as an impossibility. For another 10 years now there will be no war, no fight, no battle. After the treaty was signed and most of the laws, conditions were to the favor of the people of Makkah Mukarramah, the Kufar. But in that few years, in that 1 year and a few months, a lot of people had the chance to see the people of Iman and Islam very close. And Iman started entering into a lot of hearts. Allah Tabarak Tala made it that the people of Makkah Mukarramah themselves very quickly broke the treaty. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam got the news, he was not going to redo the treaty again. The treaty was written for 10 years, but it never lasted for even 2. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that the time had come for the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. The previous time when they had gone to Makkah Mukarramah, they had gone when the treaty was signed with the intention of Umrah. At that time, the number of the amount that went was only about a few thousand. And in the short period of time, it had now become 10,000. 10,000 was a very huge number. That is why the Arabs of Makkah Mukarramah, they knew that they broke the treaty. And they knew how weak they were because of years of war. They were not ready now to make a new war. They sent a delegation to Medina Munawwara, let us redo the treaty. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not speaking. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a lot of dua that Allah, we are going to move now towards the holy land of Makkah Mukarramah. Let the news of our going not reach them. He did not want them to know his coming. Because he knew if they get the message, they will prepare. There will be a battle. There will be a lot of blood. A lot of families would be killed. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. No one was told where we're going. A very few understood through certain indication. A Sahabi radiallahu anhu from Yemen. He had come to Makkah Mukarramah and his family then decided that they will not make the hijrat. They would remain on the ways of the people of Makkah Mukarramah. He, the demand of his iman, made him come to Medina Munawwara. So they were all from Yemen. They were not the people of Makkah Mukarramah. Hatib bin Abi Balta'a, radiallahu anhu. Understanding that soon the Muslims are going to be going for this conquest. And thinking that there will be a battle. And he said, I also knew that when the battle takes place, definitely the people of Iman are going to win it. There's no way the Kufar will win this battle. But as that battle would be taking place, he said, everyone in Makkah Mukarramah got some family. Because of family, the people of Makkah Mukarramah will not attack them even if they are known to be Muslim, because they surrounded with their family even if the family is non-Muslim. Tribes looked after tribes. He said his condition was that his family had no one around them. So when they would see the Muslims coming, they would see these Muslims in Makkah Mukarramah and they would use them as hostages or as shields, or they would take their revenge on them. He said, for the protection of my family in Makkah Mukarramah, a thought came to me that if I write a letter to explain to the people of Makkah Mukarramah that the Muslims of Medina Munawwara have their eyes on you and there is an intention. And he said, I knew it will not harm the deen of Allah one bit. But just so that when they'll get the letter, they will always say that he wrote us a letter, he warned us, so do not harm his family. Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam brought the news. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali radiallahu anhu and another sahabi. They met the woman who was sent with this letter at a certain point. Ali radiallahu anhu said to her, hand over what you have. She refused. She said, I have nothing. Ali radiallahu anhu said, I have yaqeen in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told us to come here. He told us to just wait here and you will come pass. Exactly as he told us. He said, if you don't take it out, I will even be ready to search you full. Because I am convinced that it is somewhere by you. Understanding he was determined, the woman did take it out. They brought the letter back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Hatib bin Abi Balta radiallahu anhu, and he asked him that what made you do what you did. So he explained. How well he explained. He said, Allah's Nabi, I am not a hypocrite. He said, I am indeed a believer. He said, I knew this will not harm Allah and the Rasul of Allah in the least, but it was really a thought of mine that if I could somehow save my family. The question is now what he did and the excuse that he gave, was that excuse valid? Umar radiallahu anhu did not feel it valid at all. And as we will read this ayat, Allah tabarak ta'ala will say, how can you do a thing like that? But the verses of Quran were not specific to one sahabi only. Verses of Quran speaks to me and you. It has spoken to all of us because there are times when all of us, although we will be able to give an excuse, it will still be said, but the excuse is valid, but how can you do a thing like this? Umar radiallahu anhu did not think it to be valid and he said, O Allah's Nabi, he was the Jallad in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the time of execution would come, it was for Umar radiallahu anhu. So he stepped front and he said, allow me, Allah's Nabi, to execute. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped him, explaining to Umar radiallahu anhu that he is a man of iman. And another word he used, he said he's a Badri. He has taken part in the battle of Badr. And then he said, oh Umar, what do you know? Allah looked at the people of Badr. So happy he was. They gave their life for Islam. That Allah said to them, maaf yola, maaf. Whatever you do, it's maaf. Meaning there will be mistakes. Ulama, when they recorded this incident in the books of Ahadith, gave a very nice label to this incident. The crux of that label is, or the title is, that on account of the khidmat of the elders, those that come later should appreciate the efforts that the elders made. And in appreciating their efforts, if they find that the elders make some errors, they falter in certain issues, the one who comes later, he has to put the matter right. But he must always remember the honor of the elder. That the elder has done lot work. That perhaps Allah looked at his work and said, whatever now mistake you make, maaf. That others will come and put it right, but your mistake, if it happens later, is maaf. Whenever a new generation will come, they might find that the previous generation had done certain things which can be changed. But there should never be that level of disrespect. That how could you do what you did? Because perhaps Allah had looked at the sacrifice of the elder and said that whatever you have done, what a thing you did. Now, if there's a mistake along the way, maaf. So Allah Ta'ala revealed verses which are very hard. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already showed that Allah forgave that sahabi. Meaning, don't ever think bad of that sahabi. From here we learn another principle. That when you want to criticize someone, instead of criticizing an individual, criticize a principle. In this verse, Almighty Allah will mention certain stern words. And it is known that the incident happened with that individual. But the individual was made maaf. And the stern words remained. The stern words means that the principle on which he based his action is very bad. But sometimes when the principle is wrong, it doesn't mean the individual is also bad. So when you want to refute or you want to criticize, criticize a principle. Because you don't know when that individual stands in front of Allah. He might stand in a different shan. Almighty Allah might have looked at something else in his life and said, you are from the people of very high levels of Jannah. And the one criticizing the individual will be feeling shy on that day. You will find, I'm on a lower level, he's on a higher level, and I was talking big talks. When you criticize, criticize a principle. Not someone who you feel was the cause of that principle. Criticize the principle and leave the individual. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَصُبُّ الْأَمْوَاتِ. Those that have passed away, do not criticize them. فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ أَفْضَوْا إِلَىٰ مَا قَدَّمُوا. They have already reached what they have sent. So if they have sent something which is not good, they will meet Allah and they will sort it out. And if they have sent something which we have no knowledge about, which was very good, we might spend the rest of our life criticizing while they are enjoying. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, the stern word, O people of iman, la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya. He who is my enemy and he is your enemy, how can you ever make him your friend? تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, that you send certain messages of love towards him. You are meeting him with love, or you are sending something towards him which is filled of worry, concern, like how he sent the letter. وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. These are such people that have openly refuted the truth. يُخْرِجُونَ الرَّسُولَ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. They are the very ones who took out the Nabi of Allah. They have taken out you. He also had made the hijrah. They have taken out you from your own land. أَن تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, just because you brought iman on Allah. إِن كُنْتُمْ خَرَجْتُمْ جِهَادًا فِي سَبِيلِي وَبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِي تُسِرُّونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. Allah says, you going out for jihad. You say the jihad is in my path. You are searching for my happiness. And at the same time, you're sending a letter to them, a message of love. وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِمَا أَخْفَيْتُمْ. Indeed, I, Allah, am very well aware what you hide and what you make apparent. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْهُ مِنْكُمْ. Whoever will do such an act, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Indeed, he has gone off the path which he's supposed to be walking on. Very stern words. We all understand that this was the principle on which Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu based his act. That it was only that I'm worried about them, concerned, and hopefully they will regard it as my favor. The words, the principle, Allah tabarak ta'ala spoke very hard. But the Sahabi was already told, maaf. It meant that the world will continue seeing these principles. There will be times when an individual grows up with non-Muslims. He benefits from non-Muslims. He loves with them like brothers and sisters. But a time will come where he has to make a decision that will I allow the love of the one who Allah does not love to remain in my heart? Kindness and good character is not stopped at all. Rather, I can even continue making dua for the individual's hidayah. And the surah will now explain how you must behave when someone in your family, someone amongst your friends is not on the path of the haqq, meaning is not on iman and Islam. إِيَثْقَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءً. Allah says, at the end of a battle, if they manage to capture you, if they manage to find you, then you will see what enemies they are of you. وَيَبْسُطُوا إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالسُّوءِ. Then you will see their hands coming forward to harm you. Then you will see their tongues wagging to criticize you. They will forget. وَوَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ. And they will even come and say, oh Ahmed, oh Muhammad, I really love you like a brother. It's just this Islam I don't like. Fully desirous if only you can go back to kufr. لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ. Hatim bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu did say that Allah's Nabi, I did it for my family. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, a day will come. لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of Qiyamah, you will find your family and your children will not benefit you. يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ Allah will make like a gap between you and them. This gap is يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ On the day where a father will run from his son, husband from the wife. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِي On that day, everyone will be in his own state, worried of his own self. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ Almighty Allah says, the next time you think of doing something, remember that Allah is looking. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمٌ Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, there will always be someone close to you who's not on the deen. Someone who you like. Someone who you always followed. Maybe he was a movie star, a rock star, a musician, a soccer star. Something that was your hobby, he was the boss in it. He was a teacher who you always looked up to. He was a leader who you were always thrilled. But there was no iman in him. Allah Ta'ala says, think about Ibrahim alayhi salam and those who are with him. إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ When he said to his nation, إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ That I have nothing to do with you and what you worship. كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ I openly refute it. وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ أَبَدًا Because our religion is different. There will always be this enmity that will be there between me and you. I will not manage to be your friend, bosom friend. حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدًا Until the day comes where you also believe in Allah. This is the beauty of Iman. It had nothing to do with color. It had nothing to do with nations. It had nothing to do with tribes. It only and only had to do with Haqq, Deen, the truth. The very person who killed the one who you loved so much. And 2 months later you managed to capture him. And before you could have him executed by the judge, he decided to read the kalima. It is only the tariq of Islam that would show that that family who had the right to ask for qisas on hearing the man's kalima shahada, they would themselves lift up their hand and say, Oh judge, we forgive him. Not only so much, many a time then they would adopt him. And they would say, I will make you now my son. The very man who killed their son. Had it been enmity for the individual, no one would have ever done this. But this enmity was based on deen. There was a time called the Mongolian Tatar invasion in Islam. The very people, the very Mongolians who butchered one generation, the next generation, meaning the grandson of the one who was martyred, he had to see the grandson of the other who had killed his grandfather. And he would marry that one's daughter, just because that one had accepted Islam. He would be ready to marry her daughter, his daughter. He would bring that entire nation in and treat them like his open brother. Only in the tariq of Islam, you will find Wahshi radiallahu anh saying, I killed Hamza. Is there place for me in your deen? You will see the son of Abu Jahl Ikrama radiallahu anh coming. His wife has asked that, Oh Allah's Nabi, my husband has run away. He does not believe you will ever say, I have forgiven him, given him aman. He's not believed, he has not yet read the kalima, but will you give him? Ikrama himself says, I did not lose and leave an opportunity except that I lifted up my horse against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I even knew we're wasting our time, it's not going to work, but I could just not accept him as my master. Now he runs, Muslims have entered Makkah Mukarramah. His wife comes behind him. She has been given a promise from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if Ikrama comes, he will be given aman, he will not be killed. She sets out with the slave. She has read the kalima, but Ikrama has not as yet read it. After finding him and begging him to come back, and he agrees, then on the way from where he was, which is a long journey towards Makkah Mukarramah, being her husband, Ikrama wants to have relations. So that night she pulls back. She is the wife. She pulls back. And she says, I cannot allow you to touch my body. Same woman who went running to save, full of love for her husband, full of love. That's why she went to save him. She went to bring him back. She took the chance to go in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much of disgrace, I am the wife of Ikrama. She took the chance. He wants to touch her, she pulls back. He says, what's wrong? She says, there's a gap now that has been created between me and you. You are on kufr. I cannot let you touch me. What a word he said. He said, how great this deen must be. That on account of this deen, a wife who loves her husband will not allow him to even touch her. He says, wallah, this is a very great deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed by Jibreel alayhi salam, Ikrama is coming. He says to Sahaba radiallahu an, Ikrama is coming. Not one person must look at him with a evil eye, with a bad eye, that, oh, now you come. Now you're looking for help. Ikrama. He had not yet come to read Kalima. He was going to read Kalima after. But how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the world that the very ones who were behind years of persecution, just in the hope that they will get deen, and he got deen after that. There and there that enmity was pushed one side. So this is not an enmity for an individual, for a race, for a tribe. In Islam there is only this one enmity, which is a barrier between iman and kufr. Hatta tu'minu billahi wahda, until you also read the kalima. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, between us and you there's a barrier. Illa qawla Ibrahim li abi. Yes, there was the sentence of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his father. He said, la astaghfiranna laka. That I will continue asking Allah to pardon you. Pardon you, ulama explain what it meant is to guide you so that you can get pardoned. To make dua for someone who you love. And he is in kufr, that has been allowed. That Allah open up his path. Allah open his heart. I like the individual so much. I do not want to see him burning in Jahannam. For that there is no problem. But he said to his father, وَمَا أَمْلِكُ لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Remember, in front of Allah, I will not manage to help you at all. Meaning, if you don't read your kalima, you will be standing in front of me, Ibrahim, looking and saying, oh my son, save me today. And I will have to just say, oh my father, I could only have saved you if you saved yourself. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Talib the same thing. Just before he passed away, read the kalima softly. And on that day, I will say, Allah, I heard it. I will say, I interceded. And Abu Talib was not ready to do it. رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam said that I will continue asking Allah to open your path. And then what a dua. He said, Allah, our trust is on you. Our trust is on you, meaning if someone says, how can you allow this enmity to be established between you and so and so? Between you and a certain party, between you and a certain force. If those people know that you are talking in this manner, that I do not love you, then they will not give you what you are expecting of them. They will not aid you when you are looking for aid. They will not see you as their best bosom friend. They will not help you. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "O Allah, we placed our trust on you. Alayka tawakkalna. And when we are looking for support, wa ilayka anabna, then we will turn to you for support. Why? Because we know wa ilayka al-masir, we're only coming back to you. It must not happen that when we go back to Allah, there is a certain dirt in our heart which is called the love of kufr. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lil-ladhina kafaru. Unique is the du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salam. That one is, we cannot show that party, whether we're living in a Muslim or a non-Muslim country. We cannot show the party, "I love you." We can show character. And again, ulama have mentioned the purpose of good character is, hopefully your deen will be saved. By seeing my character, you will change. Ulama have written, your intention should not be, "I am showing you good character so that you look after my dunya." The intention must be, "I'm showing you good character so that maybe your deen can get saved," meaning your akhirat, that you can come onto the straight path, you can come onto hidayah. "I am not showing you good character so that you just look after me." But that fear is always there, that now will they not try to harm you? Now will they not send their people against you? So tariq, history has shown that when Allah wanted and a decision was passed by Almighty Allah, then the very people with whom agreements were made, friendship was made, promises were made, when the time came for them to attack, at that time, that friendship which the Muslims thought they had with them never helped one but. Those people attacked. And what was worse noticed is when they attacked, the first target was that one who was close to them. They took their izzat and their honor more than everyone else. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's next dua is that, "Allah, we are not going to show this love to them. But it must not happen that because we don't show them that love, then they come and fall upon us." So what a dua. He said, "Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lil-ladhina kafaru." Allah, for the people of kufr, I know you're going to take their imtihan, their exam. They will be tested also, because they got a jahannam to face. So they are going to be tested where their zulam is going to be shown, where their evil is going to be shown. He said, "Allah, when you're taking their exam, let me not be the plate on which the exam is taken. Don't make me the exam paper for them." Meaning, let them not fall upon me. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا رَبَّنَا. Allah, I know I have done certain things which are not good, which is deserving of divine punishment, which is deserving of problems in this world. Allah, I ask you to forgive me. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Two beautiful du'as. One is, "Allah, my trust is on you. And when I'm going to look for support, I look towards you. Because I know I'm coming back to you. As for that worry, what if they fall on me? Rabbana, la taj'alna fitnatan lil-ladhina kafaru. Let me not be the exam paper for these people." And again, Allah tabarak ta'ala says, "Laqad kana lakum fihim." Indeed, Ibrahim alayhi salam, in him and the people around him, for you, O people of Iman, what a wonderful example. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. But it will be only for the one who is desirous of meeting Allah and finding the day of Qiyamah. That individual will say, "I cannot allow myself to pass away, and the love of kufr is still in my heart." وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ. Almighty Allah says, if you don't wish to be like this, if you are not desirous to meet Allah, if you're not waiting for the day of Qiyamah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Then remember, Allah is most independent. Allah doesn't come running behind anyone. Allah doesn't beg you, "Love me only love me." Al-Hamid. Allah is the one who everyone is praising. He is the only one deserving of praise. Allah is not in need of me and you saying, Alhamdulillah. It is the kindness of Allah when He allows us to say it. So the individual is told, put up that barrier. that barrier of enmity until you bring iman. Beautiful is Quran. It understood the feelings of man. That I will do that. But it's natural that a child who says to his mother also, Mummy, my deen and yours is different. I cannot do what you want me to do. I cannot say what you want me to say. When a friend says to another friend, that I know you are having a get together. I know we were always friends. But please excuse me. I can't continue coming to your weddings and your ceremonies. And when my daughter is getting married, it's not right for me to invite you. When your father is being buried, it's difficult for me to come to your graveyard. There is that gap there. I know we were friends always. My character is there for you. But not on friendship, on good character. On good character, if I have to phone him and say, I'm very sorry at the loss of your father, then the basis of it will be good character. The basis will never be he was a good friend. He was a good friend. There will have to be a barrier, but when that barrier is put up, it is very hard. Ibrahim alayhi salam till the ending still loved his father. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the ending still had love for Abu Talib. He would never ever after that say, I hate Abu Talib. Because your inside is natural. You will still love the one who you grew up with, you played with, you spent all your time. But now that one separated. There was a girl who you were so close, you always said, I'll marry. But she chose a path which took her out of Iman and Islam. And she says to the boy, you want to marry me, either accept me as I am, or you also come out of the path. At that time, that individual might burn for the rest of his life. That I always wanted her and I still want her. That love will always be there. Allah Ta'ala ordered that the tongue and the body must not show that love. We must not express that love. Whatever is in the heart will never be taken to task. Whatever brought on the limbs, on the tongue will be. But Almighty Allah said, Asallahu an yaj'ala baynakum wa bayna alladhina aadaytum minhum mawadda. When you will establish that barrier of enmity, that I cannot be your friend, Allah Ta'ala says, who knows, perhaps Allah very soon will make between you and the one who you despise, Allah will make now a great love coming between the two. What it meant is, Allah might open up their doors for Hidayah. And that's what happened. Sahaba radiallahu anhu entered Makkah Mukarramah. The letter of Hatib bin Abi Balta'a never reached. But everyone in Makkah started accepting Islam. So where you were told, establish that barrier, it never have to remain for very long. The people with who you had to pull your distance, pull back, they became yours after that. Kalima was read, immediately they hugged each other. Immediately they went into each other's houses. Again they started having meals together. Again they started talking. Wallahu qadir, don't ever think it's impossible. Allah has power over everything. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. This is called Surah Al-Mumtahina. At the end of the Surah, then Allah Tabarak Tala speaks that while the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were now camped, this was at the time of Hudaybiyah, this was before Fath Makkah. At the time of Hudaybiyah, the one law was signed that after this treaty is signed, Muslims will go back to Medina Munawwara and they will have Makkah Mukarramah. Umrah will be allowed the following year. It's called the Qadha of Umrah, but not this year. Then they had one clause that any man who decides to leave Makkah Mukarramah and come to Medina Munawwara, he will be sent back. Sahaba radiallahu anhu was shocked at this. So how can you send him back? You send him back, you're going to punish him. You are oppressing him for so long. Let him come. But the clause, he was there, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ending signed it. Then they had happened that certain women came. They came to the camp and they said, we want out of Makkah Mukarramah. We have read Kalima and we have come. So the people of Makkah Mukarramah came and said, these women send them back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then wahi had come. said to them, look at again what we wrote. And Allah Shan, they had written there any, they intended any person, but they wrote any man. Because the word man was there, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, these are not men. They were not happy at all. Because some of them were their wives. And their wives now found an opportunity to get out of the houses, so I can now go on to the true deen. So very angry. Finally they said that if we're going to let them come, then what mehr we spent on them. Big amounts were given. You must give us that back. You must give that back. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala revealed ayat to say how you will take the woman. One verse was said, if the people of Iman, the woman of Iman come to you, don't ever send them back to the people of Kufr. They're not halal for them in any way. Take them. Take a small imtihan to see, are you really believer or not? And at the same time, the command was given, وَلَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمِ الْكَوَافِرِ. If any of your wives are on Kufr, if any of your wives are on Kufr, then don't hold on to that relationship. Sahaba radiallahu anhu on that day immediately said, Allah, for your pleasure we divorce. Until that time, the marriage of a believer to one on disbelief was allowed. Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, Allah, we divorce. Some of those women they divorced were close to their heart. Some of them could have been the mothers of their children. This is the surah of Imtihan. It was to say that you will have to break completely your relationship. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave permission that a believer, a Muslim male, is allowed to marry a Christian woman or a Jewish woman. But that allowance was given in such a manner that Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard of a Sahabi radiallahu anhu marrying a Christian woman, he sent a message to him that divorce her. And when the Sahabi said that, but Allah has made it allowed, you can marry the Christian woman, you can marry the Jewish woman, Umar radiallahu anhu gave the answer that I also know it's allowed, still divorce her. What it was that, number one, when you will start marrying the Christian woman, and others will start marrying the Christian woman, then obviously they look something that is far from what you get. Man normally becomes used to what's always there. And when something new comes up, how they will doll themselves, how they will show themselves before they accept Iman, they're not even believers. It's naturally Muslim's eye will fall on them. He will not find in them that haya and modesty which a Muslim has got. His wife will be in the kitchen, she will not look as smart as they can look, because they're not in the kitchen. They will walk up to him and show their body because they got no worry of what they can wear. His wife can't show her body like that. So he says, I fear that if you start opening the doors of marriage, then you will put our believing woman in fitan. In fitan, in trials, meaning one is they will decide, I also have to dress like that woman. Otherwise my husband will think of taking another. And then their haya will go. Their modesty will go. That was one. In that there was a lesson for the people of Iman, that don't ever put your wives in fitan, in trial, by looking at filthy and dirty pictures, by smiling at other women who you see, by looking even on the news and staring too long, because your wife will understand that you are not looking at the news, you are looking at the presenter. She will not want to tell you, but it will go in her heart, that if I don't start dressing like that woman, if I don't start behaving like that woman, if I don't start acting like that woman, then my husband's love for me will go all to that woman. And that's where the fitan starts. Then her haya is taken away. Then she starts dressing in a manner she never thought she will dress. She does it all so the husband's eye stays on her. But we all know in this world, no matter how much you try to match them in evil, you will never manage. They are not bothered to walk around fully, fully naked. How much will you try to compete? Don't put your woman in fitan. The second reason why Umar radiallahu anhu did not want the marriage which is a lesson to all believers, that although Allah allowed the marriage of a Muslim man to a Christian woman or to a Jewish woman, permission was given. When permission is given, it comes always with a lot of clauses, at times when there will be great benefit. The time has to be understood. It's not just general. It's a time where the Muslims are mighty and strong. Nations are being conquered. An entire land has been taken. In that land, they are now the princesses of those kings, the queens of those kings. The princess comes in the hand of the Muslim Ummah. Can you treat her like a slave? She's a princess in the ending. Her people will not be ready to see the princess is being sold as a slave in the market. Then the Muslim leader says that this is a princess. She is not fit to be in somebody else's house. I will take her in my. But will I take her as a slave? It's not right for her to be a slave. He will say, you don't want to marry me. And when she will look and she will say, will you allow me to marry you? Then so many of her nation will get close to Islam. So many doors could open up. So permission was given. At the same time, there was a fear that if that woman herself comes and says, I want to marry you, and she's a beautiful and a pretty woman, and a Muslim leader falls head over heels for her, then history has shown that how the Jews, what we call Ashkenazi Jew of today, have ensured that their daughters get married in every main Muslim family. They have not spared any family, what is called government families. They have put their daughters everywhere. And the child now that comes out from that union, in the whole world, nasab, the lineage of a child is through the father. So they'll say, who's your father? Who's your father? Who's your father? According to the Ashkenazi Jew, they're not bothered who the father is. Depending on the mother is who you are. And that's how they will make their relationships. That's how they will make their contacts. That's how they will use an individual. You born to a Jewish woman, you are a Jew for life. Whether you are an atheist, you're still a Jew. It's in your blood. And according to them, the blood comes from the mother. They were not shy to send their daughters. Ulama have written, that is the secret behind the success of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimullah. And perhaps that is one of the reasons why after that leaders, how they collapsed. And in present times, how they have collapsed. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimullah had a condition that in his haram, meaning in the woman who would enter into his compound, his wives, his children, his advisors, his ministers, he said, not one Christian, not one Jewish woman. We will not allow them to enter. The reason is because when they enter, if your wife is a Jewish woman, then no secret remains except that it's sent to them. No plan can be made except that it is sent to them. And in the ending, a woman will teach her child what she believes. So the child will have the name of Ahmed and he will have the thoughts of a Jew. The Jew are very happy to put their daughters in every house. Those women are very happy to doll themselves up and to enter every house. It is the people of Iman and Islam who have been showed that do not hold on to such relationships. If a person cannot hold, if a person in the surah was told that there should not be love between you and another on the basis of Iman and Islam, enmity should be created. An individual must think that if I marry a Christian girl, then this enmity must still be there. Well, a man managed to have enmity and at the same time he says, my darling, but I hate you. It will never happen. Unique is the law. How many Christians have entered into the houses of the people of Iman, and because of that perhaps there has been such a collapse of so many of the great families or the great leaders or the families of leaders. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala create a new nation, a nation that as they will rise, they will understand that I do not hate any individual, any group, any person, but there is something called an enmity that is created on the basis of deen. This surah has taught this enmity. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.